Good morning. I want to begin with this gospel today, and I want to tie in the first reading as well. Our Lord gives us these three examples of traps that any of us, myself included, can easily fall into. And he uses the analogy to make this point. He uses this analogy of seed being sown and the type of soil that it falls into. And I want to go over these three traps because, like I said, any of us can fall into any of the three of them. The first trap that happens, he says, is the seed falls on no soil at all. It kind of falls on the path, he says. And what happens, he says, the evil one comes and steals it away because the person hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. So this is, the seed is thrown on the path, and we don't understand it, perhaps because we're not paying attention. You know, sometimes when someone tells me that they're not getting anything out of math, I kind of say, well, you know, kind of what are you putting into it? You know, are you paying attention? We're going to come back to that in a minute or two. But this is that first example, that we're just not paying attention. We're missing it. The seed is being sown, the seed is being thrown, right? But we're missing it. Because we're not paying attention, and what happens, as the Lord says, the evil one comes and steals it away. Then there's also the possibility that it falls on the shallow soil, the rocky ground. And he says this is the person who receives the word with joy often, but because there's no depth there, because it's very shallow soil, it does sprout quickly. But then when the sun comes and scorches it, it dies because it doesn't have any roots, because it's very shallow. This can happen to us sometimes too. When we're thin-skinned and we take persecution not as well as we should, you know, this is what happens sometimes when we go out and we try to be good Catholic Christians, right? And we go out into the world and we try to witness to the faith. But perhaps it gets challenged. Perhaps one of our friends or coworkers or even family members says, you know, why do you guys do that? And just kind of starts beating us up for our faith. And perhaps because we are shallow, perhaps because we don't have that rich soil there in which we have planted roots, we allow the persecution, the sun here, to scorch it and to kill it. Because perhaps we're so concerned about pleasing other people and maintaining the status quo and just kind of peace at all costs, that we allow it to just be scorched. We're so shallow sometimes in our soil that we're not worried about our relationship with God. If we have that rich soil, if we have those roots in that rich soil, Christians, we really shouldn't care what other people think about us. Now, we're not going around trying to tick people off, but we shouldn't care if someone wants to persecute us. Our Lord says it's going to happen. If we have that strong vertical relationship, you know, with God, then we shouldn't care as much about the persecution we receive on the horizontal level from our peers, and like I said, sometimes even from our family members, right? And then there's the third example, the seed that is sown in soil that has other things growing in it, thorns and weeds. And because there are those other things growing in it, it pulls away the nutrients that the seed needs, and so the seed doesn't grow as it should, because all of these other things are taking the water and the nutrients that the seed should be getting. This happens in our lives too sometimes, that the soil is there, but we have so many other things in our lives distracting us, taking away our time and energy that should be spent on fostering that seed, that faith, and instead is spent on pursuing all sorts of other worldly things that don't really matter at the end of the day. And this is what our Lord says. He says that the seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. So we have these three possibilities that can happen to us, these three traps that, like I said, any of us can fall into. Either we're not paying attention, and so when the seed is thrown, we don't understand it, we don't hear it, and so it gets snatched away. Or we're so shallow, we're so thin-skinned, that we just fold under persecution because we don't really have much of a vertical relationship with God. We're so concerned about pleasing others. Or we have so many other things in our lives distracting us and pulling away the things, our time and energy that should be spent on fostering it, and so it dies, like as happens with the thorn. So we have those three situations here, right? Now, I want to tie in the first reading because the first reading that we heard from the prophecy of Isaiah makes it clear that God is doing his part. God is sowing the seed, right? Every time you come to Mass, every time you say a prayer, every time you choose virtue over vice, God is doing his part to help us grow, right? And that's what he says. He says, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it fruitful and fertile. And he says, my word shall not return to me void, but it shall do my will, it shall go out. So what Isaiah is saying is, God's doing his part. So we can't blame God for any of those traps that we might fall into. It's never going to be God's fault. God's doing what God's supposed to be doing, right? So if we fall into any of those three traps, it's because we're not doing what we should be doing to keep that soil that is our soul, the soil of our soul, rich so that it can be fertile, so that it can be fruitful. As the Lord says, the seed that was sown on rich soil, that is the person who hears it and understands it because they're paying attention. It's the person who has a rich enough, deep enough soil that when persecution comes, and it will, that it's not scorched instantly. And it's also the person who is spending enough time and energy focused on nurturing that seed that it does grow, and they don't allow other thorns and weeds in their lives to pull their attention away from what's really important. Now, what can we do? What can we do to make our soul that rich soil that the Lord is talking about here? Well, I would just invite you to consider briefly in your heads, please no show of hands when I ask some of these things, but consider briefly in your heads, what do you do between Sundays? Right? Because I hope all of you here, this is, you know, the 15th Sunday in ordinary time, this isn't Christmas or Easter, I assume all of you that are here, and just looking around, I could verify this, but most, if not all of you who are here, come every Sunday, at least. So you're doing the bare minimum. It's not like you're some of those people who just show up on Christmas and Easter. So you guys are at least doing the bare minimum, right? You're coming every Sunday. But what are you doing between those Sundays? What are we doing? How are we cultivating the soil between those Sundays so that when we do show up on Sunday and the seed is thrown, that it does grow and that it's nurtured? For instance, prayer. How often are we praying at home? You know, do we take time to pray before we sit down and eat something, even if we be out in public? You know, do we take just 15 seconds to just say a quick prayer and thank God for this food and recognize that there are other people in this world who do not have any food to enjoy and won't for a long time? So do we pray before meals? Do we pray perhaps at night right before we go to bed? There's an ancient custom in the church that we would do an examination of conscience before we go to bed each night and kind of review the day. How did we do? There's a maxim in the spiritual life, a very ancient maxim, but you're always moving. You're never standing still in the spiritual life. But then the question becomes, are you moving towards God or away from God? Because you're not standing still. So that's something to do at the end of each night, perhaps. Did I move closer to God today, or did I move further away from God today? And to thank God for responding as we did for those times that we moved closer, and to tell God we're sorry, and to make resolutions to fix those times that we moved away from Him. So prayer. What about confession? When was the last time you were at confession? Again, please don't raise your hand. If it's been longer than like 2 months ago, you need to go to confession. Now again, yes, it is true, the church teaches that the minimum is once a year, that if you have mortal sin to confess, you need to go at least once a year, right? But I always tell people, number one, it's kind of hard to remember, you know, past 1 or 2 months worth of sin. I kind of always get a kick, and thank God for the screen and people can't see my reaction, but when I'm in there and someone says, you know, it's been 6 months and all I did was cut someone off, I think, really? It's the only thing wrong you've done in 6 months. Let's canonize you now, you know? If you haven't been to confession in the past 2 months, you need to go to confession, even if you don't have anything big to confess. Now, yes, again, let's talk about the minimum here just to make it clear so you know what I'm saying. Yes, the minimum is you only have to confess mortal sins, and if you have mortal sin, you only have to confess that once a year. Again, that is the bare minimum. We're supposed to go to confession and confess the smaller things too. And even if we don't have a whole lot to confess, just to go and to renew our contrition for our previous sins and to again receive those graces. So I recommend people every month or every other month. You know, we have confessions offered here every Saturday afternoon, as does like every parish in the entire Catholic world. You can always stop a priest whenever you want for confession. Canon law actually prohibits priests from turning down a reasonable request for confession, ever. So you can always stop by the office. You can always Facebook and say, hey, can I meet you for confession? It's one of the good uses of technology. You know, John Paul II, they said, when he was Pope, he would go to confession every single day. And you wonder, like, what does he have to say as the Pope? Well, you know, imagine, if you're the Pope and you don't smile at someone when you should have, well, all of a sudden, you're the Pope who didn't smile at me. You know, and so you can imagine he had a bit of a burden on his shoulders, and so he had a priest on his staff whose job was just to hear his confession every single day. Now, I'm not suggesting you need to go every single day. Like I said, maybe once a month or every other month. But if you haven't been in a while, go. That's something you can do between Sundays to keep that soil rich. So we've talked about prayer. We've talked about confession. How about spending time in the Adoration Chapel? You know, we have this Adoration Chapel, which is a great blessing to our parish, that we have the Blessed Sacrament exposed. It used to be 24/7. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had enough people volunteering so that we could go back to it being 24/7? But as you may know, we've had to kind of chop that down because we didn't have enough volunteers, and so now it's, you know, 7 to 10, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Wouldn't it be wonderful, though, if we had so many people that we could go back to 24/7 and have perpetual adoration of the Blessed Sacrament? And I assure you, God is never outdone in generosity. If you take that, you know, 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. holy hour on, like, Tuesday morning, God will greatly bless you and reward you for that. I can tell you from experience, some of my most intimate, powerful prayer has been like in the middle of the night when you didn't want to go to prayer and you did anyways. So prayer, Adoration Chapel, make use of it. So I just offer these to you. There's so many other things we can do, but I just invite you to consider, what am I doing between Sundays to keep that soil rich so that it is fertile and fruitful, so that when the seed is thrown, that we are able to bear much fruit, as our Lord says, 30, 60, or 100-fold.